Dear friends, during our last meeting, we saw what happened during the sixth trumpet, and we established the relationship between a text found at the end of the chapter 11 of the book of Daniel, which describes a war between the king of the north and the king of the south. We saw that this war was itself a last call, and also the last milestone before Christ's service in the sanctuary finishes. Within the time of this trumpet, there will be still a final call, one last call. And that's what we'll examine now as we read chapter 10. We'll see what happens with the little book open. So, I invite you to read Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them." The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heavens and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no more. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, "Go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth." So I went to the angel and said to him, "Give me the little book." And he said, "Take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth." Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." This text raises many questions. Who is this angel clothed with a cloud? What's in this book? What is his mission at that precise moment? What do the seven thunders say, since John is not allowed to reveal what they say, and many other issues? So, we will try to solve these problems one by one. First, we'll try to know more about the angel standing there, clothed with a cloud. The people of Israel was accompanied by the cloud throughout his entire journey in the wilderness. This has frequently been described, and I invite you to read it with me in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So this pillar served them as light at night, protecting them against the heat of the sun during the day. It was a guide, and the Lord Himself was in it. Let's read another text which could be more suggestive. When the law was given to Moses and to the people, we find this in the same book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. So I think we need to bring these two texts together, because the same way that Moses goes up the mountain to receive the tables of the law, John approaches this character, and we understand that he is Jesus, this character to receive from him a little book. The second element allowing us to identify this character is the rainbow. You know that this rainbow is the sign of the covenant, and this since the flood and the story of Noah. We have already seen this rainbow at the beginning of the judgment. Remember, chapter 4, verse 3 already talked about it. And reference is made once again now as we come to the end of the judgment. Let's read together Revelation 4, verse 3. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. The presence of the rainbow at the beginning of the judgment in chapter 4 and at the end of the judgment in chapter 10 and 11 clearly indicates that the whole judgment is under the sign of the covenant, because it is the judgment of the house of God. This judgment is the one that decides if someone is removed from the final judgment that will come after, or will have to face the judgment court. Thus, we are indeed during the judgment period of the house of God. Another feature is the face of this character. His face is like the sun. Then, a face like the sun is something we have already met twice. Let's read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 2. He was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Needless to say that this is Jesus. And if we still need to be convinced, we have the text of the inaugural vision, the first vision of the book of Revelation in chapter 1. Let's read it, verse 16. Obviously, this inaugural vision is about Jesus, who was already like the sun. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. He had in his right hand seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shining in its strength. So, a third element that leads us to understand that this character, this angel, is none other than Jesus. And the last feature will confirm it. His feet are like pillars of fire, like fine brass. We already had this description in Revelation chapter 1, verse 15. Let's read it. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. We also find this feature in Daniel, in the book of Prophet Daniel, chapter 10, verse 6. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and his feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now we begin to understand who is this character presented in the book of Prophet Daniel, of Prophet Ezekiel, and now described by John the prophet. It is Jesus. Then we could wonder, why is he presented as an angel? In fact, he is the chief of the angels. And when he is called Michael, the real term is archangel, which in Greek means chief of the angels. We talk about the archangel Michael, but the archangel Michael is Jesus. Now I would like to address a second question. What is this little book? So this little book is in the hand of the angel. And the angel set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. We can see here the expression of universal authority. I hope to show you, not immediately, but in a coming presentation, that there may be another meaning, but let's leave this aside for now. This character is like a roaring lion. So what could be the meaning of the fact that he roars? Of course, we know this character as the lion of the tribe of Judah. But when he roars, this implies a specific meaning. I invite you to look for it by reading in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 30. Therefore prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout as those who tread the grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise will come from the end of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. You see that when the lion roars, when the Lord roars, it is because he has a controversy with all the nations. He is in judgment with all peoples, and he will give the wicked to the sword. Then those roars are also a last call. Now we must speak about the seven thunders, because these seven thunders are presented in Psalm 29 as the voice of God. Let's read together Psalm 29 verses 1 to 3. Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. This text clearly states that God has a voice of thunder. So imagine seven thunders. It is the fullness of power. It is quite reasonable to think that in Revelation 10, it is indeed God's voice. What is interesting in Psalm 29 is that the voice of the Lord is mentioned 7 times. I invite you to read with me and count the number of times the voice of the Lord is mentioned. Psalm 29, verses 3 to 11. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple everyone says, Glory! The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, yea, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Thus, in a moment of distress, in a moment of extreme difficulty for the people of God, the voice of the Lord, the thunder, roars. And that thunder is there to help God's people. It is also likely to announce things, because finally John is forbidden to write those things which the 7 thunders have spoken. And we wonder why this ban. What is the point of our knowing that the thunders have spoken, except to say that at the time of this prophecy, when it comes to realization, God will speak. So, there will certainly be a special revelation from God for those circumstances. God will speak. Now, if we continue our text, we shall find out other elements. Seal up the things which the 7 thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angels whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his right hand to heaven. We are here facing a rather unusual scene in the Word of God. An angel is swearing. He raises up his hand and he says something extremely important. Throughout all the Bible, we have only 2 scenes that speak about that. The scene we see here now, and a scene in the book of Daniel still in chapter 12. I invite you to read this scene. Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood 2 others, one in this riverbank, and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he raised up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Here are those 2 scenes that speak of the same character. So, we must try to understand what this little book has to say. Well, in the book of Daniel, we have a message to Daniel in which he is told that he must seal this message. But he is also told that in the end, many will read it and that knowledge will increase. In the book of Revelation, we read that a little book is open. That is to say, it is not sealed anymore. It is ready to be consumed, and besides, John is invited to eat it. What else after that? What is he being told? He is told that he must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. In other words, this prophecy is given to Daniel sealed. And we know that it will be opened later. And now John discovers it. Rather, John represents the people who will discover it at the very end. And therefore, it is a prophecy that has not said its last word yet, which has not been revealed yet. It is a prophecy to be discovered. So, do not expect me to unseal the mystery. No, we don't know it. However, we know that one day it will be unveiled. And not only do we know that it will be discovered, but it will be the support of the last, very last preaching. At the time of this prophecy, in the final moments of Jesus' ministry in the heavenly sanctuary, God will again, in His goodness, give a last revelation, a final call, a final opportunity to turn to Him. And we will do it through a people represented by a prophet. But is not this people prophet the one who have already talked about, the 144,000 or the great crowd? We see how this people, even though going through much troubles and difficulties, will give a clear and simple message up to the end. And despite the difficulties, the thunders that sounded will say, God is with you. And in all the difficulties, God guarantees His people that He is with them.